I'd like to welcome everybody to the September meeting of the Upper Trinity Groundwater Conservation District Board of Directors, meeting here in our offices in Springtown, as well as online. If you are following online and wish to comment on any of the items on the agenda, if you'll hit the chat function and let Doug know which one, or if it's a topic not on the agenda, if you wish to speak to us, then we'll get to that. Director Lusk, would you call roll, please, sir?
Justin Bradley.
Present.
Shannon Nave.
Here.
Jason Flint.
Here.
Don Micah.
Here.
Mike Berkeley.
Here.
Tracy Messler.
Here.
Jared Reynolds.
Here.
Bob Lusk. Here.
We're all present. We do have a quorum. And for purposes of this district, it takes five to approve anything. So I have a session. If everybody please stand and join me in the pledge of some flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible. Doug, do we have anybody marked for public comment?
I don't think so. Anybody sign up? I don't have anything.
Not public comment. It's an item on the agenda.
Correct.
Very well. And shall we convene a discussion of possible enforcement action related to multiple potential violations of district rules related to wells IDs 18604 and 18605. Located on Lot 10 of Cedar Springs Estate in Wise County, owned by Lunamar Properties, LLC, William Gage. And this is a discussion call for a show cause hearing.
No, this is a show cause.
This is a show cause hearing?
Yes, sir. Our district rules allow for the board or the general manager to set a show cause hearing.
Okay. Doug?
So I'm going to go through this pretty quick. If you have any questions, let me know. Started in September of 2022. District got two new well applications located just north of Decatur. They were for a proposed subdivision. Staff contacted the owner the next day because the two proposed well locations were too close to each other. And in the email response, staff didn't get a response directly back from the owner. They got a response back from the owner's engineer. But you can see in the email chain, the owner had directed his engineer to deal with us. And so we started working. Staff started going back and forth with the engineer, Mr. Young. And of course, I've provided the entire email chain to you guys. Ultimately, we landed on during that conversation, the preliminary plat or preliminary drawing was provided to the district. That's part of the reason. This is typical when you have an unplatted piece of property and we find out it's going to be developed. We ask for a preliminary plat. So that we make sure the wells are drilled in location that would meet spacing. So that way, once the land is subdivided, the wells don't have to be plugged, right? They still meet spacing. So they provided a preliminary plat. The map on the left was the map provided and included in the application package when it came to my desk for approval. And those wells were approved based on this drawing. So you can see they're on, the wells are on lots 10 and 11. Here's those 10 and 11 here on this plat. Wells were drilled in January of 23, so they're approved in September. They're drilled in January of 22. They're drilled in January 23. However, recently we've received another application up there, and in reviewing the final plat, it was clear that the property the plat changed fairly significantly from what was originally provided to us. I've got this here. District Rule 4.3 basically says once a well is approved and meets its district spacing requirements, it must maintain those spacing requirements. If one fails to do so, we can require the well to be plugged. 4.3 states that, you know, you can't have more than one well on a 2-acre tract. And then 4.2A, we talk about, they also have to meet TDLR, standards, right, for all wells. TDLR for a well that's less than 50 feet to a property line, must be pressure cemented down 100 feet or top of water. This is the state well report for well ID 1605. It was hand mixed and poured, and there's only, 10 feet of cement, right? So, in other words, the well is now, they now have two wells. Turn on my laser pointer. They now have two wells on one track, and one of which is less than the required 50 feet from a property line. So, I sent a letter to Mr. Gage, who is the owner, the registered agent for Lunamar, notifying him of this issue as authorized by resolution. I think it's 23010. You guys authorized me to offer settlements for violation of district rules so that we don't have to bring each and every one to the board. I offered him a very straightforward settlement, just plug the well. I did not include any penalty fees or anything else, just said, hey, this well needs to be plugged. After he received the notice, he did call the office, was quite frustrated, went on and on about how we never should have approved it because it was in an easement. Of course, the document that we had didn't show any easement anyway. I've since gone to the county clerk and got a good copy of the final plat, and looks like a drainage easement there. But on the phone conversation, I explained to him, it was like, depending on the nature of the easement, people will drill wells in easements all the time. He said a couple things and hung up on me and have not heard back from him since. It's worth noting in my letter, as authorized by district rules, board or myself can set a show cause hearing. I basically said, if you don't fulfill the requirements, accept this settlement offer by September 1st, then this letter is a notice of show cause hearing, which will be held today, same time, location, all that stuff. So he was noticed. More recently, Kyle was visiting with our well driller, about another topic, and this came up, and Kyle asked if they had plugged it. They said no. They actually reached out to him and asked, try to encourage him to plug the well. He told them he did not want to plug the well. So here we are. The well's still in existence. That's it. That's where we are. I don't think this gentleman has any intention of plugging the well. At this point, it's my recommendation that you authorize myself and our general counsel, our legal counsel, to take any and all means necessary to bring the situation to compliance, including filing a suit in court of competent jurisdiction. And I'm happy to answer any questions. And I believe Brian's on, our attorney, is on the line if y'all want to ask him any questions either.
Doug, is there a house on this lot now?
No.
There's not?
No. No.
There's two wells.
Has he stated why he would want two wells period, anyway?
I don't think it's a – I mean, I'm speculating, right? I don't think it's a matter of wanting two wells. It's a matter of just not wanting to deal with a government entity telling him what to do, maybe. I don't know.
We have any information on the other well on the property and it being of substantial production to support a residence on the property?
I don't know what the state well report said, but I mean, it's 5-10 gallon a minute at least, probably 15, but this is northeast of Decatur. So there's ample water. I mean, we're clear, you can't have two wells. I mean, if you want two wells, you got to have 4 acres.
But with the GPS, originally it was plotted separately, correct?
Correct. Yeah, they changed. So the plat, right, with the lot lines they sent us originally, it was fine. They changed the lot lines, and it was almost a year and a half later. It's like, so the final plat wasn't approved until a year and a half after the wells were drilled.
Okay, so help me understand, obviously.
Okay.
Why are they drilling the wells before they even know where the houses are going, just to begin with, considering you don't know where that?
It's pretty common practice.
Do a GAC.
Now, this is prior to the GAC.
Well, to do a groundwater study to be able to say, are we going to have enough water for our development?
Right.
And sometimes they do it because they want to. Sometimes it changes. Now, if this was to happen, it would be to perform a GAC.
Right. Correct.
So that you could say, yes, we have enough water. And if the water was lacking, you could, at that point, reduce the number of lots.
Right.
And adjust your layout.
Right.
But nonetheless, he did drill two lots. He had one alignment. He changed the alignment. And both of these wells are on one property, one of which is too close to the property line.
Right.
Doug, would you go back to the actual plat? Shannon, what's the hash marks?
That's the drainage easement up here.
Okay.
So you can't see it real clear, Tracy, but right up here,
yeah,
at the far end, that's actually the floodplain. Okay. And then the one that comes down closer to where the well is, right, that's a drainage easement.
I think there's a floodplain, a drainage easement. There may be a conservatory easement as well.
Yeah. So did they change this later because of the drainage easement?
I don't know. We were never explained why it was changed.
The applicant's not present here.
No.
No.
And based on what I understand, staff's last communications with him
were unhelpful.
Were unhelpful. Not willing to discuss alternatives and leaving us with little option but to take an action.
Correct.
Take this action if we so choose.
Correct.
At that point, and you say court of jurisdiction, it would be in Parker, would it not?
Yeah, it would be. Brian, is that correct? It would be in Parker County?
Yeah, would be.
Because that's where our offices are in Parker County.
Correct.
Our new board members. Just clarifying that.
Is there a well on lot 9?
No, sir. Well, which one's lot 9?
That's
no. No, there is not a well on lot 9.
There's no. Oh, that's what I'm.
No, sir.
Any question about the idea of closeness to another, to a third well?
If he replatted in between the two of the wells and let that go to lot 9, would that allow him to keep the well?
Let's solve the situation.
Would he still be within 50 feet of well?
He'd have to plat it in such a way. He'd basically have to go back to the original plat, right?
Doug and I have talked about it a little bit, and there's several options he could pursue, whether it's plug the well, replat the subdivision. There's things he could do to allow the well, this to be resolved.
Right. And honestly, I think in my initial offer to him was plug the well or bring the well into compliance, which would have – he could have replatted, right? That is an option. But at this point, it doesn't appear he's willing to do much.
Brian, question on the procedure at this point. If we authorize you to proceed on with this, will it go straight filing or will you send notice of suit first?
We'll reach out to them first verbally and see what we can get there. And then we usually send something in writing, try to do everything we can to avoid actually filing a lawsuit.
Which would still offer him an opportunity to replat and get in compliance.
Right. Yeah, our main thing is it just needs to be brought into compliance.
Yeah.
Either plugged or replat.
At which point we would consider whatever violations we wanted to.
Right.
So right now, Doug, general manager's recommendation is that the board authorize general manager and district's legal counsel to take any and all actions necessary to bring this situation into compliance with the district rules.
Correct.
And that could be if the property owner wishes to work with us, either plug the well or replat, or go to legal matters and actually have a lawsuit.
Right. Anything from that one all the way, yes. Both of those, anything in between. But obviously I have the authority under the resolution to settle, but the authority is if we have to go down the path of, filing a lawsuit, then I would need that authorization. And my recommendation is that we don't let this set around, right? I mean, it's bad enough. People don't take our rules very seriously sometimes. And they think they can just, wait us out and we'll go away. So I'd just rather not let this set out. Like I'd like to get this taken care of.
Either lots, are they? They're not. There's no. They're not. They're sold or not sold. They're just blank.
I don't believe they're sold. He still maintains ownership.
Okay, so they're just.
Yeah.
Okay, empty lots.
Right.
Well, I'll agree with you. Because if that lot sells, we're under a whole different situation.
Right. Then you got to deal with the current landowner.
Correct.
Right.
As well as the one who violated.
Right. Right.
We can put a lien on that lot. That's where I'm coming from.
Do whatever our attorney thinks we should do.
Do you want? What's their no-go date on filing suit? Do you or Brian have a?
I don't think we're going to work anything out ahead of time. Maybe we will. We'll see.
Leave it up to the attorney.
I'll be honest. He hasn't been the friendliest to staff. I just don't have any warm fuzzies that anything is going to happen to change. I think it's discretion. I think giving us some discretion would be best.
It doesn't sound like Doug and Brian are going to dilly-dally about this.
Okay.
We can give them directions on dates, but I mean, giving them the latitude to do as they see fit with the direction to resolve this is best.
Just so the board has a clear path of what I would discuss with Doug on this, if you approve this recommendation, it would probably be Doug reaching out one more time to saying you failed to show up your show cause. The board authorized us to take all necessary actions to do this. I'm going to offer you another attempt to settle it. Please contact me by this date indicating what you're going to do. If you don't, I'll turn it over to my legal counsel. And then if it gets turned over to me, I'll try to reach him verbally, because historically, that phone conversation has worked with the vast majority of folks to let them know that, you know, it's fixing to get very costly. and try to direct them back to staff by a certain date. And if I don't hear from them, I'll send something in writing to them. Again, with a couple of weeks to get back with staff. And then if all that fails, we'll prepare a petition to go file it. And I'm not saying Doug's going to agree with me on all that, but that's typically the process by which, I mean, sometimes, like Doug says, you'll come across somebody who just is real clear that they're not going to do anything and you're wasting their time. I don't know if this fellow falls into that category or not, but that's the typical path we will try before. And it's been pretty successful, as evidenced by the very, very low number of lawsuits we've had to file that I can count on one hand in the last 18 years that we've been in existence.
We've had very rarely had to go to that extreme. So,
but it's the board approving the authorization to go ahead and proceed with it that oftentimes causes the settlement to occur.
We're looking for a motion. I'll make the motion to follow the general manager's recommendation.
Director Berkley seconds the motion. Board have any other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That closes the show cause hearing. And I show it's 5:18, preliminary hearing on proposed historic use permits. I'll call to order the preliminary hearing for historic use permits. We have already called roll tonight. I'll make note of it. For tonight's attendance, all board members are present. We have a quorum present. Much of what we do in these hearings is legal in nature, and because of that, because I'm not a lawyer, I'm going to appoint the district's legal counsel, Brian Slash, to serve as co-presiding officer today for procedural in legal matters and conducting this hearing, and I'll turn it over to Brian and save my voice.
You just don't want to read that, Tracy.
Evidently, Evidently, I used up my lifetime allotment of having Tracy read this script.
Yeah.
So here I am. Okay, can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
And do we have anybody signed up in opposition to any of these, Doug?
No, sir.
Okay. Then I'm going to rifle through this, but if anybody has a question, you know, slow me down, yell out. We'll note for the record that this hearing is being recorded as required by law. This hearing is governed by the district rules, Chapter 36 of the Water Code, and all applicable law. Is the board will consider taking action on some or all of the historic use permit applications before today. If they are uncontested, we'll note for the record that the notice requirements for this hearing have been met. Apart from the regular board meeting notice, a separate public notice for the preliminary hearing on proposed historic use permits was provided by the general manager prior to August 18th of 2025, which was no less than 30, no more than 35 days prior to today's hearing, in compliance with District Rule F.3D and Rule E.4F. That notice included the information that's required by the district rules and was posted at the district office, provided to the county clerk of each of the four counties in the district for public posting, and provided to any person who requested to receive such notice from the district. It was also posted on the district's website. And finally, a notice of the hearing was also included for the notice for the board meeting, which was posted in compliance with the Open Meetings Act. Unless the board has any objections, I'll ask that staff include a copy of the notices in the administrative record for this hearing. Is there any objections from anyone in the audience or the board or anybody else regarding the sufficiency of the notices?
I see none, Brian.
Hearing none, notices are admitted into the administrative record. The hearing notice today includes a list of three historic use permit applications. They're set forth here on the notice, and those are application for GMS Rio LP, an application for Town of America, an application for West Park
Town
property.
Of
sorry. Town of Annetta.
Town of Annetta, Ryan.
And my eyes aren't what they once were. Well, when I refer to the applications, generally those are the three applications from the notice to which I'm referring, unless otherwise noted. I'll cover some procedural matters on how we'll work through the applications. The general manager has recommended issuance of a permit for each of the application today, consistent with the general manager's recommended maximum historic use amount for each application. For those applications that are not contested, it'll be our intent to have the board have an opportunity to vote on those today. We may we are likely going to finish all three applications. If we have an issue with any one of them, we'll set that aside and maybe perhaps continue that for another day. If at least two board members disagree with the general manager's proposed permit and want additional evidence, we will on any of the applications, we will continue that application. Or if we receive a valid request for a contested case hearing on any applications, we'll defer that to the future date. Our rules provide that the official record for uncontested applications may be our meeting minutes, an audio tape, or hearing reports. We are making an audio recording of this hearing, but we may substitute meeting minutes later to serve as the official record of this hearing. Because we're making an audio recording, if anyone wishes to speak, we'd ask that they would clearly identify themselves on the record. The board's bound to evaluate each application on its own merits, look at all the relevant information, and review the statutory criteria and the criteria for approving permits in the district rules to make its final decision. As required by the district rules, the general manager and staff have done quite a bit of work and analysis during their technical review of the applications. The information in each application and the GM's technical review, recommendation, and proposed permit as summarized in the board packet that each board member previously received. If any board member is interested in reviewing an application further or asking questions about an application to the staff, they'll have a chance to do that. I'm going to ask the general manager to describe the nature of his review and analysis of the applications and summarize his recommendations and the basis for those. And then the board will have an opportunity to ask Doug questions or even go through information in the applications if you want. If anybody in attendance wants to speak on any of the applications, we'll give them the opportunity to do so after Doug finishes with his general manager's presentation. There's no need for anybody to add anything to the record if they're satisfied with the general manager's recommendation, but today's the day to say something if you ever want to on one of these applications. Today's the day to do it. After we're done with comments and questions, we'll consider action by the board on the applications. If the applications are granted, assuming the application is in compliance with the rules and laws and has paid all fees, the permit will be issued. The applicant's right to produce and use groundwater shall be limited to the extent and purpose of stating the permit. Look, I guess that unless somebody snuck something in since the last time I asked you, we will note for the record that the district has not received any requests for a contested case hearing on any of the applications today. Is there anybody, despite the fact that we don't have somebody contesting, that wants to speak on any of the applications today?
No, sir.
Okay, so since no one's advised that they intend to contest the application and no one's advised that they're going to comment on the applications, we're going to go ahead and declare that all three of these applications are uncontested at this point, and we'll move forward with the general manager's presentation. And Tracy, I would just ask if you, as board president, could swear in the general manager before he makes his presentation.
Doug, you solemnly swear that this one you're about to give her the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but truth, so help you God.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Doug.
Yes, sir. So this is going to be quick, guys. We've done how many of these now? Like 500 historic use permits. We've got how many left, Jay? Yeah. 10 maybe left.
Rich and I let Brian do this several times then.
Right. Well, the ones we have left, so we broke them all up into groups, right? We started out with two categories, those that are requesting a volume equal or less than their maximum historic use and those seeking more, right? We've acted on all the first category. Then we started acting on the second category. We broke those up into multiples, like those who requested a justifiable amount. BKV, which is formerly Devon, they had so many systems, they got their own hearing. Then those that had requested more than could be justified during the two-year verification period, but we figured it'd be easy to work with them, and then those that may be a little bit more difficult. We're finishing up group three right now, so those that, you know, we think negotiations were going to go pretty easy. And basically, we had Kyle, we had a town of Vineta. They had asked for a huge number early on. Their previous engineer just kind of shot for the moon. After they've got an operating permit and understand that permitting process, they were good with my recommendation. GMS Rio, they just didn't have much information. They provided us information. And what was the situation with the third one, Kyle? Yeah, West Park Properties. We met with the owner of West Park Properties a couple months ago, explained the process to him. He looked at what his historical production was, and he was okay with our recommendation. So all three of these entities were okay with what I had determined to be their maximum historic use and my recommendation for their historic use permit. So my recommendations, approval of all three of these permits based on my recommendation. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Board, have any questions for Doug?
First two permits are showing to be equal volume.
Yeah, that was a screw-up. That's just on the spreadsheet. I mean, or just on the PowerPoint.
Okay.
They're not. I don't have the numbers in front of me. That didn't get fleshed out when PowerPoint was getting put together. It's a long PowerPoint. I was focused on the show cause hearing. Yeah, apologize for that.
They were interrelated.
No, they're not.
Okay.
No, that was just that didn't get changed as they're copying and pasting them over.
Any other questions for Doug?
Being the newest member on the board, is there any previous history of approving these historic use permits over a production permit over their historic,
their actual historic use. Yeah. And Jason, so the way when we adopted the permitting process in 2019, we knew that maybe 75, 80% of the folks that were going to be getting historic use permits had been reporting to us since 09. So we had good data. We knew there were some that maybe because we changed the rules and we're bringing more people into permitting that maybe they didn't have production. There were some that maybe it was they drilled some wells for a development and the development was just getting started. So we set out this 2-year verification period, and then I the rules authorize me to use that and any other information to determine what I think is the maximum historic use. We've done a couple groups like this, and so far all of them have been pretty straightforward.
Any other questions for Doug? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and by and large, for many of these, they also have room for an operating permit on top of that. Very few of them are capped out.
Yeah, some of them are, but yeah. But yeah.
Any other questions for Doug? And I don't think any of the ones today, Doug, I don't think you've recommended an amount higher than the amount that the applicant requested in any of these three, do you?
No.
Okay.
Each of them might actually come down from their initial request is what the recommendation is. Yep.
Right. Okay. If there's no other questions for Doug. Unless there's any objection, I'm going to direct that the entire packet of information provided to the board on these applications prepared by the GM, including the applications themselves, the technical reviews, the recommendations, the proposed permits, and all other supporting information be included in the administrative record for this hearing, along with the notices previously admitted into the record. Is there any objection to that?
No.
Hearing none, they're so admitted. If there's anybody else that has indicated a desire to speak on these before the board takes action, this would be the point.
Nope.
If the board's ready to do so, we can move forward with a decision on all three permit applications that we previously noted are uncontested. In doing so, the board must consider the general manager's presentation, the evidence given at the hearing, including the evidence that was admitted into the record, the criteria and the district rules in Chapter 36 for granting or denying an application. And, Mr. President, it would be appropriate to entertain a motion to approve the general manager's recommendation related to all three of these historic use applications included in the notice for today's hearing.
Very well. Do I hear a motion?
Motion
by Director Nave. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director Micah. Any further discussion?
You didn't even get to hear my recommendation.
You waved it, babe.
I was waving to say I was going to say it. You don't even know what I was going to say now. It's my recommendation that the board approve general manager's recommendations related to the historic use permit applications, including the preliminary hearing notice. It's my motion.
And I have a second. Any further discussion? He and I will settle this later. There being none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And show up closing the hearing on historic use permits at 5:33. Go into our regular agenda, public hearings.
We still got hearings.
Oh, public. Well,
we still have operating permit hearings.
That's what I was about to do.
Sorry, Tracy.
Going to close the historic use permit hearing.
Got it.
Public hearings on operating permits. Receive any public comments, requests, contest, and general manager's report and recommendations regarding the following applications for permits, permit amendments, and a request for exceptions to the district's water well spacing or minimum track size requirements. 1A, applicant Aqua Texas out of Granbury, operating permit amendment, system 007-8, multiple well IDs. Doug?
Yes, sir. I always like to start operating permit hearings with a little section from Rule 2.9F where it says the board shall grant the lesser of reasonable non-speculative amount of annual groundwater demand or the applicable annual production allowable per contiguous acre. So again, it's a lesser of those two. So Aqua Texas, they're looking for an operating permit amendment to drill and operate two new water supply wells for, really it's three systems. They've got three systems down there that are interconnected. that we treat as one system. It's all on one permits, permit 007H. So they're looking for two new wells. We got these two applications in back this summer. It's the Canyon Creek, the Lucre Ranch, and the Hunterwood subdivisions. If you can see back here, back up, it's just south of Granbury, just on the west side of the lake. They all meet district spacing requirements. I'll show you the maps. The first well, 23101, looking for a 80-gallon a minute well. It meets the 500 foot to property line and meets the 1750 feet to another well. And then well ID 23102, they're looking for 100 gallons a minute, meets 750 feet to a property line and 2500 feet to the nearest well. So all spacing requirements are met. When determining allocation, because we look at the average aquifer thickness below the property and then the acreage of the ownership, because this is three separate CCNs, we had to take a weighted average aquifer thickness. Staff put this together. Of the three properties, the aquifer thickness was 526 feet, 507, and 492. But based on a weighted average, coming out to 497.4211724 feet is the average aquifer thickness in the system. So based on that, they could be eligible for up to 194 million gallons per year. As determined by the average aquifer thickness or the depth of the deepest well, whichever is less, multiplied by 500, multiplied by the acreage owned or controlled with any deductions. There was 120 million for their historic use permit deducted and for just over almost 46 million, for their operating permit deducted. So, you know, it's 166 million gallons deducted from that, is how we get the 194. They are requesting 127,395,250 gallons per year. They base that request on 500 gallons per day per connection with 1,656 total connections. Shannon, I forgot to look at what you asked earlier. 500 gallons times 166 times 365 days comes out to 302 million gallons minus 173 for their permit. Comes out to 127 million. That's where they came up with that. However, based on their 2024 reported production for the system and 2025 production, they've never got anywhere close to their current permitted volume. So of 166 million, the closest they've ever got, Jay, do you remember what it was? It was 4 or 5 years ago, if I remember things, like 2020, 2021 is the closest they ever got. And it was 10, 15 million shy of their permitted volume. So in light of the fact that they've never got close to their permitted volume, but they are adding 94 connections, my recommendation is that we just use those 94 connections multiplied by 500 gallons per day and comes out to 17,155,000 gallons per year. That's my recommendation. Obviously, if they get into the middle of next year and feel they're going to overpump their permit, they can come to us at that time and seek to amend their permit. But again, our hands are tied by the non-speculative demand. We have evidence that they've never pumped their permit. So simply just giving them a volume for the additional connections seems reasonable and non-speculative to me. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
How many connections do they have today?
Numbers 1656.
You take their current and historical production and divide that by the number of active connections. Is that in line with their projection of 500 gallons per day per connection?
I haven't.
Roughly. I mean, is that ballpark?
I think that's what Shannon's doing.
Yeah. No. Shannon, you doing the math right now?
Getting closer to 275.
Yeah, 275 gallons per day. Yeah, that's in that. Yeah, it's less than 500.
Much less than 500 for the 1656 they have right now.
Correct.
And they haven't reached that.
Right.
On an average. That doesn't mean they're not reaching.
In summer, very likely using more than 500 gallons a day. In winter, much, much less.
275 is their current permit with 1,656 connections. And another an additional 94 at 500 is going to be, should be a sufficient amount of water.
Right.
Is there any time limit to them coming back to the border, to the district, and requesting more volume if they see that next year it's not going
to
be enough?
A permittee can come at any point in time to amend their operating permit. And that's one of the reasons we don't, you know, you don't want to issue speculative permits, right? Because they can come in. Our turnaround time is 30, 45 days, you know, to get a hearing scheduled when they submit an application. So it's if they get in middle of next year and need more volume on their permit, there's plenty of time to get that done.
And then historically, they could actually file that request in December,
right,
and put a stay on busting right. The permit,
right,
because they're in the process of amending.
Yep.
We've done that.
Yeah, we've allowed that.
That leeway.
Yeah.
Doug, with new members on the board, can you remind us of the value of a historic versus a general operating permit?
Yeah, I think the value, the historic use permit, I mean, if you're familiar with surface water rights, think of it as senior, right? The historic use permit has a little bit higher level, right? I mean, if we ever had to cut permits, the way our rules are written, we have to cut operating permits before we can ever even think about cutting historic use permits.
So that's the value of them doing this.
Right.
With that additional value.
Right.
Matt, do you need to say anything?
I did have a question. Could you go back to the location?
And if you state your name for the record, I know you're representing Alco, but just so I understand.
Which one, Matt?
No, Derek Gray. Matt Manhattan with Aqua, okay. Texas. We're good with general manager's recommendation. Or something. Okay. So I do remember that we do have a order on well number 6 at Canyon Creek, that once these wells come online, that well gets curtailed back down to 79.
Correct.
We do remember that.
Okay. And along with this, Doug, you said stated that the well was not within 750 feet of a property line. Obviously, it is within a property line,
right,
but not the TCN of that, and that's what we're utilizing.
Correct. Thanks for bringing that up, Shannon, for the newer board members. For retail public utilities, public water systems, we view their service area, their CCN boundary, as their property line, with the understanding that they're generally serving the people within there. So that's why we do that.
For the new board members, CCN is a certificate of convenience and necessity.
Correct.
Issued by the state that they're obligated, if at all possible, to provide water within that system, within that geographic region. They basically have a lock on it too, but that comes with an obligation when they do that.
You can call it a monopoly.
I didn't say that, did I, Matt? So.
Make a motion to follow the general manager's recommendation.
I'll second it.
Got it from our newest board members. Any further discussion from the board? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 1B, owner applicant is Bosky Ranch Headquarters out of Weatherford. Operating permit amendment, system ID 201P out of Weatherford involving 3 wells. Doug?
Yes, sir. This is Bosky Ranch. This is on Silverado on the Brazos subdivision. They're looking for an operating permit to drill 1 new commercial well. It's an amendment. They've got an operating permit. They operate an arena facility. They rodeos there, all kinds of, RV park, little small RV park there at the Bosky Ranch headquarters on the Brazos River. Sorry, I had to say it. They're looking to drill 1. Back in July, we got an application for a new well, an operating permit. They're looking to provide more water for the commercial operations, some irrigation there, and the equine facility. It's there, and like I said, there's in the back of Silverado on the Brazos subdivision. They operate multiple wells there, so that's why they've got the permit. Correct. So here's the map, well ID 22482, for the newly proposed well. It meets all district spacing requirements, so there's no issue there. Based on the allocation of groundwater, the average aquifer thickness is about 293 feet. Deepest well is 360, so they get the full 293 by 606 acres with some deduction just for the current permit. So they're still up to 87 million gallons if they need it. They're asking for 13 million. That's based on just under 10 million for the Equine facility, just under 2 million for irrigation of the front entryway, and some emergency use, not quite a half million for emergency use. And it includes a little bit of a fudge factor for line leaks and other use. My recommendation is approval of operating permit amendment for 201P for a volume of 13,395,492 gallons and to add 22482 to the permit.
Board have any questions for Doug and the staff? Hearing none, Chair to entertain a motion to approve the general manager's recommendation.
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion by Director Mike, a second by Director Knave. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 1C, applicant owner, New Progress WSC out of Weatherford, operating permit, system ID 045P, multiple wells. Doug?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about this is the Cotton Creek Estate subdivision, the developer is a gentleman who for years had been developing two-acre lot subdivisions. He came in and met with Kyle and I a couple of years ago, and he was kind of throwing around this idea of putting in public water systems rather than drilling a well at every lot. So we're happy to see he followed through with that. It fell within the CCN of New Progress Water Supply Corporation. So rather than, you know, trying to decertify and create a new water provider, a MUD, SUD, or something like that, or an IOU. He just spoke with New Progress. New Progress is, they're interested in operating the system. So they're drilling a couple new wells, 23006 and 007. This is, if you're familiar with Church Road and 730, it's just south of Azle. It's kind of across, if you know where Deer Ridge is, it's across Church Road from Deer Ridge. So we got the applications in. I just went over all that. They both wells meet all of district spacing requirements. You know, they're basically twinning a well site, a shallow 25 gallon a minute well meets district spacing requirements, and then a deeper 30 gallon a minute well next to it still meets district spacing requirements. And then based on the allocation, they're CCN is quite huge, almost 2,000 acres. You've got 108 acres deducted for private wells within that CCN. So for the new board members, when we're allocating, because you don't want to double allocate, right? So if you've got private exempt registered wells, you take off the acreage associated with those wells up to 2 acres, right? So if somebody owns 2 acres, you get 2 acres off. If you own 10, well, we just take 2 acres off for the well. And then there's a historic use permit for an RV park, then the current, the New Progresses, and then what was the third one, Kyle? Yes, Azle ISD has a historic use permit there. So there's three historic use permits that come out. They still almost a half billion gallons. They're asking for 11 million gallons. It's based on 350 gallons per day for 84 lots with a 10% buffer for leaks and unexpected demand. And my recommendation is approval of the permit for 11,804,100 gallons per year and adding the two wells to the permit.
We go back to the aerial.
Which one?
The next one. Where's Church?
Church Road's over here. It's kind of out of the screen. Yeah, it's kind of off the screen, Shannon.
What's the red line in the bottom right?
That's the edge of their CCN.
Is that Church Road or is that something else?
I don't.
Well, it's pretty windy.
I think that's actually Church Road, Shannon. I think that's one of the two curves, a big curve in a Church Road.
More than two curves.
Yeah, there is more than two. But not. That might be the one with the hill that I tried to go up when it was covered nice one time. That was fun.
Yeah. Does Shannon take those curves on good G factor? You know, two wheels on the road at all time.
Right. I drive down that road every day. It's quite windy.
Anybody have any questions for the general manager on this subject? If not, Chair would entertain a motion to approve the general manager's recommendation.
I'll make that motion.
And a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Jared, it was Jared and Jason.
I had to get my name in there somehow. I've been over here as quiet as a mouse.
So right.
I had to do something.
He's been very quiet tonight.
Yeah.
Show, we closed public hearings at 5:51. Regular board meeting agenda, consent agenda is routine and non-controversial items on the agenda. Any board member may pull anything off be considered separately. The consent agenda this month includes approval of minutes from the regular board meeting and public hearing on August 14th, approval of bank statement ending August 29th, approval investment report, payment of bills and invoices received through September 18th, reimbursement of expenses incurred on behalf of the district through September 18th, and approval to request for an extension application submitted through September 18th. We need to pull anything off.
I make a motion we accept the consent agenda as presented.
Motion by Director Micah. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Justin? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item two is moot. Discussion regarding a request to locate a replacement well at a location greater than 100 feet from the well being replaced. Well ID 22974, owned by Kyoto Homes.
Kudo
Homes, located in Parker County. Doug?
Yes, sir. This is pretty simple. It's a new subdivision. Staff went out there. We got a well application in. Staff went out there. There's an old windmill on the back of the property right back here. They want the well drilled up here. Replacement wells have to be drilled technically within 50 feet of the well being replaced. I can approve it up to 100 feet away from the well being replaced under certain circumstances if they prove to me it's necessary. Over 100 feet from the well being replaced requires board action. Clearly, this is a better location, right? This proposed location meets all spacing requirements. Obviously, back here, this does not. So this is a better location for our spacing than having them be closer to this, right? And once the house is built, you know, I'm sure they'll plug this and there'll be a septic in the back. My recommendation is approval of the replacement well at a location greater than 100 feet.
And as being a replacement well, they would have to, once this well is completed, they have to plug the existing well, correct?
Yes. Within 90 days, correct?
90 days.
Within 90 days of the new well being brought online and made operational, they have to plug the old well.
And if there's no house, they could reverse that order. Any questions from the board?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second. Motion second. Any other questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item four, discussion related to petition to amend district rules submitted by Mr. Dury Foster, Jr., who is here to speak tonight. Doug, you want to give us an overview quickly?
Yeah, and I thanks for saying that, Tracy. I was going to say Mr. Foster's here.
Yes.
I forgot where this was on the agenda. I was looking, I was going to ask to move it up since he's here, but I did put it up higher at the agenda. So I guess it was a while back you called. We spoke on the phone maybe early this year. And he was – Mr. Foster had called, and he was concerned, rightly so, with what we know is happening. You know, the proliferation of wells in Parker County and then – on 2-acre lots and, you know, well, we probably more wells than anywhere in the country in this area, in an area this big. So to that end, you know, House Bill 2443 from not this most recent session from 2023 basically, you know, requires that districts adopt rules to have a petition process for someone to petition the board to change rules. We've laid all that out in resolution, the requirements set forth. On August 24th, Mr. Foster emailed me with a petition. Basically, I didn't include it here. I provided that to you guys separately. But here, he's basically asking us to consider, you know, changing the minimum tract size from 2 to 5 acres, mandate hydrogeological assessments for proposed wells, and then apply well spacing uniformly. So, you know, going back and forth, and, you know, here's evidence from the appraisal district showing Mr. Foster is a property rights owner in the county, in the district. So we did verify that. Based on this, it looks like he lives in northwestern part of the county where there is, you know, where the groundwater challenged. I've met with Brian. We both, you know, believe he's raised some very valid issues. Although we do spell out exactly what needs to be in the petition, we could continue to work with him to make sure he gets all those things. However, what I'm recommending and talking to Brian is we believe this is an issue that we do need to discuss, right? There are just so happens to be timely. There are some other issues that Brian and I have been discussing. And I was going to ask the board to authorize us or to direct us to start a rulemaking process anyway. I did meet with Brian last week, spent a good bit of a day talking about a number of issues. This had been submitted, so Brian and I discussed this quite a bit. And so my recommendation is to direct the general manager and myself and our legal counsel to begin working on rules amendments that address these issues, work with Mr. Foster to see if he's got any specific recommendations, and then bring those potential changes back to this board for consideration in a formal rulemaking process. And I'm happy to answer any questions, and I believe Mr. Foster may want to speak as well.
And I believe just from general conversations between the two of us, the staff has identified some other rule issues we do need to address at the same time.
Yeah.
And I would assume we do all of this at one time since rulemaking becomes, I want to say arduous, but it gets a little complicated.
Right.
Formal.
And it gets formal.
We might do it
and
once every 5 years rather than do it once every year.
Right. Yeah. And there's, we have a list of things. We spent, like I said, the better part of a day with Brian and I mean, a number of things that we want to change. And we did spend a good bit of time talking about this issue and ways to address the proliferation of wells. So.
Yeah. And for our new board members, the topic of 5 acre minimum is not new. It came up in 2018 and 19 when we were going to permanent rules, was discussed. I know from my conversations with our commissioners' courts, they're aware of the situation in certain parts of our district. In Western Park County, if it's the northwestern corner, you've got Cross Timbers groundwater up there too, which is 3/4 of Montague County, and it can be problematic.
Can be.
So, I mean, it's.
Mr. Foster, I was on the board when we did this discussion. And I appreciate your petition presented here. Have you received any support from your neighbors?
I have, yes, sir.
That's where I'm coming from, because at the time when we were not getting complete support from the county. And so even though one individual brings us in, I want to make sure that we're not just speaking to one individual.
I think we're just getting started.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I've been talking to ranch owners and other property owners around, and they all have the same concerns.
So. Okay, that's good.
And it's, you know, we deal in a district that has two different geological formations in it, with two different varying amounts of water sources, one of which plays out in Montague County, comes down to 1 inch thick. So, I mean, it's our district gets a little bit complicated compared to some others.
Just bring him up.
Do you wish to address the board? Or you're getting a positive response, though.
My name's Dury Foster. I'm a property owner here in Parker County. I moved to Parker County about 3 years ago, and this is the first time I've owned a property that has a well. After the first year, talking with my neighbors and my own self, we started experiencing issues with having water pressure because, you know, new development, a lot of people are using the wells, all the water at the same time. And start talking to some of the other ranchers around the area, and they let me know this has been a long-term problem. So, you know, I've been thinking about it for a long time, but as I look and see the continued development in Parker County, just when I moved here 3 years ago, I could drive down 920 from my house, and I might not see a car for a while. Now there's about 20, 30 cars a time going down 920. And when I drove in today down Main Street coming here from, I was in Temple all week. I was in back-to-back traffic. I know they have something going on there, but this is not anything new. I think the traffic has become a nightmare. Parker County, we moved here because it's a rural county and we like the way of life here. And I think it is quickly in eroding away. With the development. I'm not against development. I think it's inevitable. I think it's a part of the natural process. But I do believe if it's not managed properly, it will have a impact on generations. So this is just not an issue for right now. I have a little 2-year-old granddaughter. It's for her time. If she moves here into our house, will she be able to wash her clothes or wash her dishes or what have you? So I urge the board to consider all of those factors, not just what a property developer might think. I think if you get the ranchers together, I think they're all in agreement. But I think you have to look beyond just some of the basic things. So I urge you to do something. You may not do 5 acres, maybe do 4 acres, but do something because the water beneath our feet is precious, and there's not enough of it here in Parker County for everybody. Thank you.
And Tracy, I think, you know, it kind of goes to what we've been saying for years, you know, and I know Shannon says it all the time, Tracy, you and I talk about it all the time is we got to find a way to encourage pipes in the ground rather than wells, right? Rather than straws, you know, at least pipes is a long-term more sustainable, right? If you get another source of water, you can put that in those pipes. You know, if we, continuing the rate we're going with wells, I just have concerns, you know, long term, right? You know, we've already seen areas, especially those folks where Mr. Foster lives and on the western extent of our district, they're going to be the first to fill it. Again, I've had some ideas. Kyle and I have talked about quite a bit. We met with Brian, fleshed them out. Brian seemed to like a lot of the ideas we put out there. So, I'm looking forward to bringing some recommendations back to the board that I think will be amenable to most folks. And I think will get us down the road of solving this problem.
And I just add, Mr. Foster, continue to do your work. We are appointed by each county judge. And so we're report to the county judge when we do something. And so if we can get the support from your area, county commissioners and so forth, that'll make our life easier up here because that will give us some decision making.
And I do believe Commissioner Holt does support. I've talked with them and met with him. He does support it. I don't know about the other commissioners. I haven't engaged in this yet.
All right. Yeah,
Parker County's commissioners are well aware of this.
Yeah, Commissioner Holt and I have a lot of conversations about this stuff, and he is a supportive of the district. So
he is. I have lunch with him actually next week, but I will tell you, as far as Parker County goes, this is it's interesting, right? Because what they don't want to do is end up in some type of lawsuit in that the county is what I'm speaking of, not us, but they don't want to end up in that we have completely regulated everything when the deregulation is what got the people here to start with. So that's the ongoing conversation of when it went to 2 acres, that's one thing. But now you're, you know, developers are going to fight it. You know, you, if all the commissioners aren't on the same board, that's something that we continue to battle. So it is ongoing. We're talking about it constantly, I can promise. But, and plus we're split in half. You know, you have one side of Parker County that can get water from one entity, and you have the other side that needs to be getting it from the other side. So just want you know, we do work on it.
You need a, just a directive from the board, or do you need a motion from the board?
Yeah, I think Brian and I had worked, put this motion together, and it's just basically just giving us direction to go on and start working on rules and bring those to us.
And
yes, sir.
Some time ago, I had talked about getting the directors a rule book so that we can follow. And your comment was, let's get the new rules in place. So I throw that back out. It might be beneficial for us. Rules in some booklet form.
Okay. Yeah. I'll get you some together. And then as we start,
we change the rules.
Right. And as we start working, I'll start. You know, I met with the executive committee the other day and kind of laid out some high level concepts of what we were discussing or what I've discussed with Brian. And what we'll do is we'll just continue to, you know, I'll continue to schedule meetings with that group, you know, virtually so we can keep you guys up to date. That way, when we start actually, you know, having rules meetings and hearings, you know, and we'll start having meetings. I'll have an updates for each board meetings as we progress. That way we're not just dumping, you know, several hundred pages of changes on you. It's not going to be several hundred, but a lot of changes. That way everybody gets behind the concepts of what we're talking about, and then we just fine-tune.
You and Brian discussed some sort of time frame on this at this point.
I kind of loosely talked about to Brian. My goal, and Brian can, you know, shoot me an ugly text here in a minute, but my goal – would be to potentially be holding rules hearing in the end of the first quarter, sometime in the early second quarter of next year, right? Okay. That would be ideal, right? It may go a little bit longer, but I'd like to have, in a perfect world, you know, we don't get a tremendous lot of pushback. I'd like to have whatever we're going to do in place, you know, by the summer of next year. That way any changes we give them, we could give lead time, and then we go into effect, you know, January 1 of the next year.
That's generally when we've done our rule changes in right. The next calendar year.
Yeah. I move we direct the general manager and the district's legal counsel to begin working on rules amendments that address these issues raised by Mr. Foster, along with the many other rules issues they've been working on to bring back before the board for consideration through a formal rulemaking process.
I second. Mike beat you to it, Shannon.
I said it louder.
But he started first.
All right, there's
you both. Both mumble. But you were actually
out of motion in a second.
I got a motion in a second.
All right.
Any further questions?
Yeah, I've got one.
Yes.
So you're monitoring wells in that area. What are they? Are the trends specific in that northwestern part?
No. So the way the aquifer works, Bob, is that's actually, I believe, and I looked again, it's the Trinity gets thinner and shallower as you move west. So okay. Eventually,
so it's moving down.
Inches out to extinction.
Right, I got
where Mr. Foster is out past the edge of the Trinity. I think he's either on the very edge of it or he's in the cross timbers, which is out past it.
We have a monitoring well near him.
I without looking at a map right now, I don't know. In Parker County, all of the formations in Parker County are trending down.
It would help if you'd let the district monitor your well.
Yeah, measure water levels in it.
Would you do that?
Yeah.
And you know what? Would it be appropriate to have Mr. Foster? Would it be appropriate to have Mr. Foster just have some bullet points as we make progress?
Sure.
Because yeah. I think he could be an advocate to help.
Absolutely.
Make these decisions. Would you be amenable to that? All right. Let's do it.
And we do like it is helpful to have, you know, kind of grassroots movement to help.
That's where I'm going.
And from what staff has beat in my thick head, the real test on whether our aquifers are recovering or declining, it comes after our winter measurements, after we get through the summer peak. Because, frankly, wells do this throughout the year.
But for the trends, we only look at those winter numbers. We look at we pick the highest number in the year, which is generally the spring number, right?
That would add some fuel to your fire if we can do that.
Right. And we come out about what we would do, Mr. Foster, is every 3 months, we measure your well, right, Nancy? So we come out every 3 months, just measure the water levels in your well so we can track what it's doing over time.
In which it tracks the impact.
They do. There's a lot going on over there.
Neighbor's well, in because the whole aquifer is doing this through this. So it does work. So I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion. Any opposed? Motion carries. And thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Foster. And always feel free to reach out if you have anything.
Update and recommendation from the Executive Committee and General Manager regarding staff compensation and preparation for the development of the fiscal year 2026 budget and take necessary action. I believe Doug included the information that he's proposed and that the Executive Committee recommended at this time.
Do you want to go into...
Go ahead.
We can't. We can discuss a individual employee in executive session. We cannot discuss groups of employees. We have groups. So let me try this route.
Okay.
Before Brian slaps me down, I'm not going to give him a chance. The executive committee met in conference call last week with Doug and raised some questions. We've agreed with what he's proposing at this point. Executive committee's gotten some more data just this week that we want to take a look at to bring back for an additional recommendations for next year's budget. And that includes both Doug's compensation and the rest of the staff.
Let me ask, because Ann's face, I think, showed the confusion of your statement. I think what the executive committee was talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're very amenable to the proposed percent increase that Doug had proposed. However, we may decide not to stop at that. As we acquire more data, and there's a source of data that's going to be forthcoming in the immediate future, that additional source of data may encourage us to do more than his request. So if you're budgeting for next year, budget in, you can, what he had proposed, but realize it may be better than that.
And hopefully, my hope is that the executive committee can have a conference call sometime in the next 2 weeks, go over the additional data we have, take a look at projected revenue sources, because in discussing with Doug today, if you recall, we just recently changed our fee schedules. Well, he didn't plug that number into what he was working with on the budget. So we can take some extrapolation and go from there and work from at that point. But we do need to work on our salary schedule, but it may not take us more than a year to get to where we need to be in all reality.
More than a what?
More than a year.
More than a year?
To get to where we need to be in the end run.
Oh.
But we're going to start working on it.
Okay.
So, at this point, executive committee's recommendation as a minimum, what Doug has recommended for salaries for next year. And then come back next month and try to make any changes in. Our normal timetable has been he presents the budget in October and we adopt it in November.
So, and again, you know, that's whatever you guys want to do. And generally, you know, I can prepare a budget, but I – we'll need a little bit more concrete to put together. I mean, this is, you know, 80% of our budget.
Yeah.
And
that's why I'm trying to get us back together, executive committee, in the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
Give you an outline to work with on a proposed budget.
Okay.
That still has to be approved by the board.
Okay. Okay.
I realize.
Okay.
What's your heartburn?
I get stuck on routines, and this is. This throws a little bit of a kink in my timeline.
It final answers.
Anybody right. Get Rolaids?
Well, you know, we could just.
I think you'll enjoy the final answer.
Yeah,
well,
I think
well,
so too.
Well, generally speaking, you know, keep in mind that, you know, we've proposed a set
executive session is
a minimum, right, percent increase for this as a staff. You know, what I would prefer is a do not exceed number, right? For everybody else. And then, you know, if y'all give me in the near future a number for myself that I could then begin at least loosely putting together the rest of the budget.
Well, now that you've given us a new number, it makes us rethink.
Right.
So, now we got everybody totally confused.
You got me confused.
No, we get paid with food. What does that look like on our end?
So you want two burgers?
Get two bags of chips.
And a Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar.
That is the total of the board. I realize it's left you a little bit as far as getting stuff ready for the October meeting. But
I can make it work.
We'll make it work. But as far as staff, what's your recommendation? The executive committee is recommending as a minimum. And do we need to take action on that or just give you direction?
No, it's just...
We've always given you direction in the past.
Right, you? Right. Well, and keep in mind, I don't... The way it's set up is... Anyway, we'll talk later. Yes, that's fine.
So if you have an executive committee meeting in the next 10 days or so, yeah. Does that give him enough direction to prepare what he needs?
Yes.
Okay. There's your answer.
Because he's still going to have to add some additional revenue in his projection. He could add additional revenue in his projection or not. It's not necessary. Statute just requires adopting a balanced budget.
Right.
So.
Okay.
I'm sorry I messed that up that way, but...
This is about a man in a river.
Don't you two get started, then. Item 6, discussion of possible action to renew medical coverage for district employees for the 2026 budget year and updates to the health reimbursement arrangement for both the 2025 and 2026 budget years and take action as necessary. Doug?
Yes, sir. Blue Cross Blue Shield proposal, our insurance going down. That was a surprise to me. I had to go in and ask Ann, am I reading this right? Down like almost 18% for the right now, the combined budget, right? Or the combined monthly premium. Obviously it's up to the board, but, you know, we're very happy, right? I mean, staff is very grateful for the benefits we get. So we do have a renewal for our Blue Cross Blue Shield health insurance. It did go down from per staff from 775 to 633, which is a nice drop, you know, per month premium. The family plan dropped from just under 2,500 to just under 2,000. So that's great. Additionally, we've got our HRA, so health reimbursement arrangement. We'll need renewal of that. So that's something for Justin, Jason. We adopted, I think, 2016, 2017. Basically, health reimbursement arrangement is we have a $3,000 deductible, or for family plan, $3,000 per covered individual, so up to $9,000. Our HRA, the district reimburses 50% of the payments towards the deductible, or 100% of copays, right? So copays are only $30, $100 at the most. So I've got an update because a couple years ago, my employment with the district became a contract employment. So we do need to update the HRA to reflect my contract because it wasn't updated at the time. So I've got an update to the HRA for this year and then approving it for next year. And that is all I've got, and I'm happy to answer any questions about that.
Is that going to be addressed in the next executive session? I mean, in the next meeting with the board?
I mean, if y'all don't want to approve it right now.
Well, we just lost two members.
Right.
It's on 6.
The vice president wants to take over and run the show.
Shannon?
Do I have a motion?
That's the fastest way.
We need to take a motion from the president if we wanted to.
You've got it. Go.
Gentlemen, do we have a motion on general manager's recommendation?
Yeah. So specifically, what is your recommendation?
Yeah. Again, I don't put a recommendation on this one because it's, you know.
Do it.
Impacts my compensation as well as everybody else's, which, you know, of course I said everybody else's, but
my recommendation would be to approve the renewal of our health coverage and to approve the amendment to our HRA for 2025 and approve the HRA for 2026.
So moved.
Second.
Perfect.
All those in favor? The amendment to the HRA.
Aye. Can I
explain the amendment to the HRA?
So it just changes to reflect my contract.
Right now his contract says A and
the HRA says B.
And we're bringing HRA.
I mean, if you want to discuss my contract, I'd rather go in there.
It'll bring the HRA into compliance with his contract.
Okay.
Which we had already agreed to. His contract was already agreed to. So now we're bringing the HRA, which was written separately, into compliance with the contract we had agreed to. I ask for all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? It passes. Back to you, Tracy.
Motion carries. Item number 7, discussion related to multiple work orders provided by Anterra. Take action as necessary, including but not limited to authorizing the general manager to execute the orders and spend funds for these purposes. Doug?
Yep. So, couple things on this item. The first one's related to, if you all recall, man, starting in like 2017, we had Anterra build us some software. First, it was the TTIM tool. So that's our well impact analysis. It's a modeling that we do to look how any proposed wells or series of wells would impact the aquifer. They built us that tool. Then they added the GAM tool, which allows us to run the full groundwater availability model. The trend analysis tool is part of this suite that we use, to take all our monitoring well data and identify trends for each of the formations in the Trinity and the Cross Timbers. And then the aquifer thickness tool that we use for our permitting. It's all part of this suite of software they developed for us. So we entered into these contracts, multiple agreements several years ago. There's been issues with some of the tools. In 2024, we did get Anterra to agree to cost share to fix some of these. They pushed hosting this off on a third party. Still had a couple issues with some of the tools not working. The GAM tool didn't really work until the spring of this year. We went years without it working. But earlier this summer, I got a call from Neil Deeds, who's with Anterra, and saying, hey, we've been incurring these monthly hosting costs, and we need you guys to go on and pay us for it. And I just was very blunt. I was like, okay, well this is new to me. Can you show me in writing where these monthly costs that we would incur were disclosed to the district? He couldn't because it wasn't part of any agreement. So in going back and forth, he said, okay, I get it. We never made y'all aware of it. So can we get an agreement to starting September 1st of this year moving forward for the district to pay that hosting cost? I said, sure, I'll take that to the board for consideration. It's like, I'm not just going to, sign a work order on something like that. That's going to take that to the board. Additionally, part of that work order, we had discussed these tools are based on the most recent groundwater availability models, right? Which we now have a new GAM for both the Trinity and a GAM for the Cross Timbers. And we'd had discussions when we originally had hired them to do this work, they were going to update it. As the models updated, they were going to bring in the new models to use the best available science.
They got over that?
Yeah, they stated they're not interested in updating them for us. And as a matter of fact, they're only going to continue to host the tool through next year. And as of February of next year, they're not going to work on any bugs for us. So as part of the work order, they even talk about, a third party to help us with maintaining it and moving forward. But right now, I've got a work order just so that we can begin to pay them for the monthly hosting, right, through the end of next year. So that's one work order. The second work order, and this goes into all the specifics of that and talks about what's going to happen, right? And they give estimates of what we should budget, approximately $750 a month. This goes into it, by the end of next year, They're not going to host this anymore. So we've got to find a solution. I have another agenda item to address that. So that's the first thing. Tracy, do you want me to go over both work orders or you want to take action individually?
Probably cleaner to do it one at a time.
Okay. Well, that's – I will happily – that's Intera. That's the work order number three from Intera, and I'm happy to answer any questions. I know I kind of went through it pretty quick, but ultimately, just to continue to operate these tools, you know, they want us to start paying this monthly hosting, which I don't have a problem with, right? I mean, they are hosting it for us. Now that we've been made aware of this cost, it's, you know, I get it, you know, that we are using these. And that's why I said I don't really want to pay for any back costs because, you know, those weren't disclosed to us. But they were agreeable to just starting it as of September 1st, so just a few weeks ago, moving forward. So work order number three basically is authorizes me to make those monthly payments.
The rest of 25 and all of 26.
Correct. And I'll budget for it and the budget for next year.
Is that paid monthly?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not prepaying anything?
No. No, it's up to, right? It depends on how much we use it. It can be more expensive or less expensive, right? So that's why it's not prepaid. It's they'll get their invoice and they'll just forward that to us each month.
And that's why he's recommending, while he's talking about $750, budgeting $900 just to be on the safe side.
Okay. Right.
This is fees associated with hosting the models that are not up to date that they're not going to support after February.
Correct. But we have to have them to continue operation until we do find – I have another item. Next item.
That's the next item on the agenda.
Okay. This is the least bad way to go forward.
Right. We specifically – I mean, if nothing else, Jason, it's the tool that we use to determine average aquifer thickness for permitting. We have to have that, right? If nothing else – then that, we have to have the tool.
Doug, in this, if we choose to go another direction after we start this work order and we no longer need them,
right.
Do we have the right to terminate?
Right, we do.
Yeah.
Based on our MSA with them, we can, which Mike and I, he's the attorney, we'll go over it, but yes, we can.
If you wanted to terminate, you can take it out of the model cell files that are the development board files. You just have to look at it manually.
Right. No, you could. Yeah.
If you wanted to say.
Right now. Right. But we do use the other tools for other things, right?
There's more than one moving part here.
Right. There is.
There is things we can do internally.
Yes, there are.
But we're not there yet.
Yeah.
So. I'm going to make a motion by Director Berkeley to accept the work order number three, as outlined.
So move. A second.
So the motion includes to authorize me to execute work order three and expend the funds necessary, correct?
Yes.
Perfect.
My understanding, is that your understanding?
Oh, definitely.
That's your understanding?
That's exactly what he said.
It is.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No. I'm going to be opposed just so they get the message.
Got it.
Thank you.
They already told us they don't want to work with us.
Tell them we don't want to work with them.
But we're going to send them money?
Sound like
we're... Well, 7-1 vote.
Sound like we're kind of hamstrung.
Yeah. Right. We do have another work order for them.
Okay.
So, as you know, we exist in GMA 8 and GMA 6. These are statutory requirements. I don't like using the term, but it is an actual unfunded mandate, right? We have to go through these requirements, adopt VFCs, which are required to perform model runs using the GAM, develop an explanatory report, things that cost money, and there's no money given down from the state to do these things. So we have to use our money to pay for these processes. GMA 8, we have an interlocal agreement with all the other districts in GMA 8. We work together to get all that done. GMA 6 is very different. GMA 6 is primarily districts over the Seymour Aquifer, so out to our west, right, up into the, you know, the Kroll, Benjamin, that area, up around to the southeastern part of the Panhandle. The Cross Timbers extends that direction, so we basically just deal with the Cross Timbers Aquifer and GMA 6. But we've got to do some modeling. Right now, the Cross Timbers basically only affects us and a small part of Rolling Plains GCD. The area in GMA 6 between the two of us is there's no districts. So it is up to us to fund
the modeling and the work for the cross timbers, right? For the DFCs that we are then required to adopt as a district. So because we are under contract with Intera to do work for us, there are our hydrogeologists, our consultants.
You're saying you're talking about GMA 6 and GMA 8, right?
GMA 6, right. So this is GMA 6 work.
The US is not us, but it's the GMA.
Right. And specifically, the US is us, right? For GMA 6 operates differently. Everybody pays their own share, right? Like, for example, when they do modeling for the Seymour, we don't pay any of that, right? So when we do modeling for the Cross Timbers, it only affects us. So we pay for the Cross Timbers modeling. Intera has provided a work order that includes the associated fees for a couple coordination meetings, two DFC runs, which we may only need one run, and then for completing that portion of the explanatory report comes to a total of $30,000. And my recommendation would be approval of that work order and to expend funds not to exceed $32,000 to complete that work order. We're in a tight space because we got to get this done by early next year.
And they can do that?
Yeah, it's what they do, right?
Sometimes.
Can you show me that breakdown again?
Yes, sir.
And if we don't approve it?
How do we manage the cross timbers?
Well, we'd face not meeting our statutory requirement, which is one of the few things a district can get pinged for. We're hamstrung, man. I don't think that we could get anybody else under contract fast enough to get this done in a timely manner, unfortunately. And those of you know that haven't been here, Intera has been the district's consultant since the beginning. However, our primary point of contact left Intera a few years ago.
The original primary retired.
Van retired, or he's there 10-20% of the time now. But Wade left and is with another firm now. Communication has decreased since that time.
They hadn't been very nice to me either.
So why is the DFC, the first run, so much more expensive than
this? You got to do a lot of legwork to get that to work.
Correct.
The one is you're making modifications. It's an easier
process. Right. Yeah.
You're changing some of the parameters they're running the model on, as I understood from walking through the first GMA.
Run one, you create the wheel. Run two, the wheel's created.
You're tweaking it. If we do this and this and this, what happens?
Correct.
We've got to have a GAM on it.
No, we've got to have. I mean, look, it's a requirement. You got to adopt DFCs. DFCs have to be based on using the most
recent science.
Recent science, or it requires the use of the groundwater availability model of the GAM approved by the Water Development Board. So, and we don't have capabilities in house to do any modeling at this point. Currently, we do not have capabilities to do any modeling in house.
This is number four. I have a motion from Director Berkeley to approve work order number 4. Is there a second? I'll second it. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I hear no opposition. Okay. Motion carries. Proceed on with those.
All right. Number 8. Oh, you ready for this one, Tracy?
Number 8, discussion related to a request for qualifications, known as RFQs, related to the hydrogeological engineering software development firms to assist in any and all matters related to fulfilling the district's mission on an as-needed basis, take action as necessary, including but not limited to authorizing general manager to publish the RFQ. Doug?
Yes, sir. Straightforward, right? I just talked about it. We've got these tools that we have to have. We've got new models that need to be incorporated into these tools. We need somebody to help us update these tools or build new tools. I've actually thought about, and what we'll probably end up recommending
once we select somebody to do it is actually building a server and running this in-house rather than hosting it on the web. I think that's going to be more cost efficient and better for the district long term, but we've got to get a firm to help us there at this point. And even in the work order that we from Interior, I mean, they talk about, hey, you're going to have to find somebody else to do this. So that's pretty straightforward. I mean, I'm just asking for authorization to work with Brian to put together a request for qualifications and publish that RFQ. My goal, if we could get that RFQ, depending on what Brian's got going on, if we can get that RFQ put together and published sometime in October, get the responses after we set our deadline, get the responses, my goal would be to bring a recommendation to the board in December. That would be my goal, January at the latest. And then pretty quick have a turnaround proposal to bring to the board to update the tools.
I might have any ballpark figure on how much this would cost.
Nope.
We do have.
We're this is an RFQ, not an RFP.
And any insight on this?
No. I think that we're looking at two different things. We're looking right at a firm that can, in the future, as new groundwater availability, groundwater modeling comes online, to do a future again.
Right.
But we're also looking for someone to take the what we're going to get from Interior, what we get from the state, and be able to give us tools that we'd run in-house on our computers. They would be our tools. And we'd run those here. We would house everything in-house. It's not going to be an inexpensive
thing,
and it would be more than one item. We would do one to get this set up, do the housing. This would probably spin out to a technology company to bring in additional servers into this building so that we can do these things. This is going to be multiple things, but it's going to be a long-term tool.
Right.
I can't tell you how much trouble we've had with Interior in the past 18 months trying to get the tool they built to work.
Right. And
it's what we're doing is the math is not that complicated.
Right. And to add on to what Shannon's saying is what I'm asking here is just for you guys to authorize me to submit a request to hire a firm, right? Once we get that firm in place, then we will work with them to bring a proposal for these projects back to the board. But right now, I'm just looking for an authorization to go out and put a public or publish a request just so we can find the new firm. So I'm not looking for proposals.
I'll make that.
My second. I was going to say, Bob, you want to do this because this is the one that tells Interior what we think.
Yeah, that's exactly why. That's it. That's exactly it. And then, okay. Motion to second. Questions?
I was going to say, how much do we have assigned for technology?
It's $250,000, but we can change that.
Yeah. For the new board members, we do have some funds set aside for this because when we first did this, it was an expensive proposition.
Right. Right. And it's going to be more expensive now.
So who do other districts use? Are we on the cutting edge of all this stuff working with it? Firm that's lost their competence.
You know, Interior's historically been one of the best firms, right?
They changed how they were doing business,
right? And they had some staff.
So other districts in this same predicament.
And not all the districts have these tools, right? A lot of districts, what they do, they just have their Interior's or their, Mike Keister's or James Beach's, these other guys that they just hire to go do all this for them.
So if we built something, could we be kind of the host for other districts?
We could help them.
And use that?
Yeah, we could. We could do some work for them.
In charge of.
Well, yeah.
Well, I don't know if we could do that. That's a legal question. But
okay.
But, I mean, definitely we could work with them.
All right.
But right now, most districts look, I don't think any other district in the state has four PGs on staff, right?
Yeah, like we do.
Right. Most of these districts just farm all of it out, right? We just said we want tools so we can do a lot of this in-house. And now what I'm asking is, like, we got to go find another firm, and not, I want to bring it more in house, right? I don't just want it hosted. I want it. I want us doing all of it in house.
Okay, I'm done.
And Tara at one point had the computer people in house. Yeah. They lost their people. They didn't replace them. Then they started going outside, and then they had additional. And that's how they backed into this.
And our project manager left, and
our project manager left, and then at this point.
Okay.
Frankly, we do a lot more in-house than we used to do.
Oh, yeah.
There were years that we spent well into the six figures on hydrology.
Right.
And we're well under it for the last several years. And part of that's because that's Doug's direction. He saw this could be a bottleneck. So.
Right.
I have motion and second to approve, authorize general manager to go ahead and publish for an RFQ. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 9, review line item expenditures and adopt budget amendments, including moving assigned funds from Technology Development Fund to the 2025 budget and take necessary action. Doug?
Yes, sir. The bottom one, moving it from Technology and Development Fund, is for the hosting cost. Because, again, we didn't budget for that because we didn't know about it. So we're having to move funds into the budget to pay for that. The other one is we've had a couple better replacing computers to get some stuff done in house. And it was ended up spending more than we thought this year. So
that's not for one computer, right? That's for half a computer.
Oh no, that's that $2,400. No, that's just what we need above and beyond what's in the budget.
Each computer is more than
that. Right. Yeah, we just built Jay a really nice computer.
And he doesn't want us to send it back.
No. I think he probably likes it. It's better than the one he had.
Back there.
Huh?
He got a little poker face going on back there.
And Jay's always got a poker face. He doesn't smile very much every now and then. It took I think the guy didn't say a word for a year. When you get him talking though, he'll talk.
I make a motion, we transfer the money.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Management report on administrative and operational issues. Doug, anything there?
No, nothing earth shattering.
General counsel's report. Brian, are you awake?
Things are crazy in Austin. That's all.
What's new about that?
I think you should only report on that when it's not.
When it comes to groundwater legislation, they've gotten much crazier in the last 3 months, as Doug's noted in some of his general manager's report. But ending the rule of capture, all kinds of proposals on the table that'll keep us on our toes.
Yeah. Next session will be fun.
It really will be.
Okay. Time and place for our next meeting. 15th, correct?
Is it 15th or 16th? I think it's the 16th, Tracy.
16th.
When?
October 16th.
Yeah, 16th.
Yep.
At 5 p.m. here in our offices here in Springtown.
Yep.
Obviously, if anybody has anything we need to add on the agenda, contact Doug or myself, and we'll get it in here and get it on the agenda. And then, there being nothing else, I'll show the meeting adjourned at 6:43. Thank you, gentlemen. And ladies.
Good meeting.